poisonous blossom, and they were passed by the city council within 2 months after that, making it illegal for people to sit down 10 feet from a shop on the sidewalk, ask for spare change after dark, and so forth. You actually have been on the mall recently, Jim. You and I were together on the mall, I guess last Friday or Saturday, doing a table at the, well, maybe a week ago Friday or Saturday. At the Cinema 9, regaling passers-by with the importance of dealing with the sleeping ban law, and you were again out there yesterday.
Yeah, I was out there yesterday, and I'm actually, I'm really fairly excited that there are people who are beginning to take a look at what's happening in America and are taking a look at what's developing in this community, and there are quite a few people out on the street who do really care about humanity, and I had good conversation with people about these issues yesterday. Now, what I want to say to people, if you're listening and you have any inkling of morality or any inkling of compassion or any inkling of political understanding or any care for the human race, I want to encourage you to take a deep look, examine what the fascists or the people, the rulers of America, what they're implementing in this country, because if you think things have been bad for black people or indigenous people or women or workers or homeless people or immigrants, if you think things have been bad up until this point, what they're about to do to us is getting so far severe that the rate that they're building prisons, at the rate that they're putting us in prisons, here's a fact, over 570 black people every day in America get locked up behind bars daily. That is escalating. There is a serious war that the government and the system is waging upon the people. It is time to get involved and resist and educate and inform ourselves and get everybody that we can possibly get to be made aware to stand up, because together we can change the whole world.
Now, are you going to be doing this table on a regular basis?
The Revolutionary Coalition will be trying to do tabling as much as possible. I will be part of that process. We want to encourage other people to be part of that process. So please get hooked up with other groups who are tabling and are educating. And if you can get hooked up with the Revolutionary Coalition, you want to deal with the politics that are really going to make change in this world, then please get hooked up.
Now, again, your number is
421-9250.
You can also get hooked up with the somewhat mellower but still exciting HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUF, appropriately enough. My goodness.
He's a poet.
So, Jim, is there more you want to add up before we turn to the Keith McHenry Report, which will kill the last half hour of the show?
I want to say one last thing, is that I want everybody to know, if you're out there listening, I want you all to know that the rights that you have today as a human being in America, which they're very limited, but those rights that we do have, they have come about because of the people before us who have struggled, who have cared about us, because of the Black Panthers, because of the Black Liberation Army, because of people like Frederick Douglass, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, because of all the civil rights activists, all the anti-war demonstrators, all the workers' struggles, every single right that we have, the fact that women get to vote, the fact that has come about a result of militant struggle. And this is what we have to understand, that if we want change in the world, it's going to take militant struggle. The judge is not going to change. The rulers of this country aren't going to wake up and just kick down freedom. The court systems, the police, the DAs, none of that. They all work to oppress us. The laws are to uphold the capitalists and keep us all down. So if you understand that, then you understand the need for a revolutionary process, for a process that gets involved the masses of this country, the masses of the planet, organized and united around a fundamental program for human rights for all people, and dealing with the obstacles that are in the way to deal specifically with what are the steps, what do we as oppressed people need to do and are willing to do on this planet to ensure that we will survive world capitalism.
And there you have it. An incoming call. Perhaps this will be a moment for us here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, good morning. Hi.
That sounds like Bob LaMonica.
Yeah, hi there, Robert, and hi, Jim.
Hello,
I want to bring up the obstacle of the Santa Cruz Action Network.
SCAN.
You bet. SCAN is a front true political change in this town. And I agree with Mr. Kosser, nothing happens without a challenge. And these kinds of procedural facades are going to continue in our face until enough people stand up. The only thing that people have going for them is numbers. All right. And the Santa Cruz Action Network, with its labels of being progressive and liberal, is probably one of the most powerful obstacles to true social change in this community. And I think it's been exhibited in the case of poor people's rights, the homeless issue, with abuse of power across the board. And one last thing. This Citizens Police Review Board is a dead letter office. Internal affairs at the sheriff's department is a dead letter office. These are all procedural facades. And until people wake up and realize that goon squads are part of history and part of the present, there will always be enough goons to oppress. The only thing that's going to change this is that people become politicized and empowered and recognize their participatory role and that there can be a rising tide. And then things will change. We'll see remarkable change.
Well, thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Bob, and we lost Jim, and we're back on our lonesome here and Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Phone lines are open, and what we're going to do now is play the Keith McHenry Report, which is Keith McHenry of San Francisco, Food Not Bombs activist, giving us a kind of a broad and yet very specific series of observations and bits of news that kind of keep us hopping and jumping and snapping for more. But you can always call in during this if you want to talk, 427-3772.
April 1st, 1996, a phone call to Keith McHenry.
Hello, Keith McHenry up in San Francisco.
Yes, how's it going?
Well, not bad. And what's cooking with you? I understand you just spent the weekend in Fresno dilly-dallying with other California Food Not Bombers.
Yeah, that was very nice. They had a great space that we were at, and it was probably about like 40, 50 people at the height were there. People from Bakersfield, people from down in Santa Cruz and San Francisco, East Bay, Fresno, and a scattering of other organizations.
Now, when we last spoke, you were concerned about sort of renewed harassment of Food Not Bombs in different locations, New York City, Arcata, I guess, San Francisco even. Any general consensus on what's going on? Has there been much new harassment that you found out about over the weekend?
The one thing was that on the Saturday meal at Whittier, the police came, and they were prepared to be arrested yesterday, and I haven't gotten news yet as to whether they were arrested or not, but they were planning on being arrested.
Whittier is the hometown of the former President Nixon.
Right, right.
Down in Southern California on the coast.
Yes, and they couldn't show to the gathering because of this suppression. And we did have an agenda item and talked about mutual aid and encouraged chapters to go to Whittier, possibly even next week, to get arrested, particularly the Southern California chapters, to try to support their efforts. And there hasn't been, like in San Francisco, we haven't had any more hassles. And there hasn't been any hassle. That one day where there was jacking people up in the Bronx, that hasn't happened again. The Manhattan group hadn't been harassed again, to my knowledge.
What about Arcata?
And Arcata is a continual photographing of them and documenting their activities. But no, and the trial is on hold because for the five people that are facing civil contempt, they have a bunch of different mistakes that the government has made there. For instance, there's the one woman who they saw serving. They wrote down her wrong name. They called her Robin, and she was actually a different woman, and she's now actually lives in Salt Lake City. So she's been away now for months, so the city government is confused as to who this person actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, the judge there ended up having, he served food as well without a permit to the public during Christmas. So they are waiting to find out if they're going to get another judge from another county to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still pending. And it looks like they're looking at Lodi, interestingly enough, for a judge. There's a judge there that was very successful in San Francisco in the Robert Norris Kahn case.
Yeah.
I thought might be a good judge to have up in
Judge Barkley,
Yes, Mr. Barkley. That is one of the potential judges that can go over to Humboldt County and find those people guilty. So.
I see. Well, those judges get around, don't they?
Yeah, he's a Jack Kevorkian of food distribution judges.
Huh? I see. And I guess Arcata has been continuing to serve food in spite of all this?
Yeah, they serve in the regular schedule, and all those things are continuing. In fact, it looks like there's an expansion where there's a Eureka may start up. So that's very exciting.
Hmm. How many FoodNet bombs have you got now in California?
Let's see. We have Arcata, Balinas, Santa Rosa, San Francisco, East Bay, Sacramento, Santa Cruz, Paltas. Santa Day's sort of on the blink right now. Well, hopefully that'll start up again with this new radio.
Palo Alto?
Yeah, Palo Alto. Then down in Southern California, it's getting way too confusing for me. I know there's a Venice, California. There is a... I just received information about another group serving in, I think, Costa Mesa again that started up, and San Bernardino, Bakersfield, Fresno is very active. Bakersfield and Fresno are very active, and San Bernardino, actually. San Diego, again, has started back up. Long Beach, which is the third oldest chapter in the United States, is still cranking every week. And so quite a number of chapters in California. We're pretty, you know, dispersed throughout the state. And, you know, we run into a couple of different obvious problems with the way that the current society is organized. It's very hard for most chapters serve on Sunday. So to hold a gathering in the weekend is difficult because it hurts the ability to serve locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that distances in the state are huge. You know, for somebody to get from Arcata to Fresno, that's like a 12-hour drive. And
did they come down?
Unfortunately, they couldn't make it. It was just such a distance. And
We're back with you, Keith.
Yes.
What's happening in dear old San Francisco? We see a story in the Morning Chronicle that talks about Jordan criticizes Mayor Brown for essentially, allowing people to sleep in the parks and then not allowing people to sleep in the parks, and or allowing people to sleep but then not allowing people to sleep. What? Any new information on the plight of the homeless in San Francisco?
Yeah, there's two different disturbing trends that are happening. First of all, due to police coordinated citizen pressure, Fred Lau announced last Wednesday that there would be stepped up patrols in Golden Gate Park. So that's a real drag, since there's been this alleged indication that there would be no more of that happening. But so it seems like the right wing is still in power in San Francisco. So that's what's happening anyway. So to put more cops in Golden Gate Park on top of already the increased repression and arrests of homeless people in Golden Gate Park is just outrageous. Also, listeners may be aware of the fact that the citizens of San Francisco voted against a sitting ban law that would make it a criminal offense to sit on the sidewalk in commercial districts. Now, the police have figured out a way to get around that. They actually have been arresting people anyway for sitting on the sidewalk, particularly in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. There's been for several years now, it's been a big problem of police harassment, and even though people still do sit on the sidewalk, but they're jacked up all the time. So now there's a no-tolerance issue being forced on. There's a way that the police department, 2 Wednesdays ago at the police commission, came up with this strategy that they could use some police codes and alter them slightly so that they could be used to harass homeless people and people sitting on the sidewalk even more. So they're...
Do you know what code they altered?
I'm not sure of the number, but there's a... and I did actually save the article, so I can report in more detail about that.
Any comments by the supervisors who supposedly opposed the sitting ban?
No. Well, this is the outrageous thing, is the Board of Supervisors are essentially disappeared for all intents and purposes. I attended the one supervisors meeting where they meet every Monday and they'll be meeting today, but no one shows up in their chambers. They're a rubber stamp for the Brown administration. They're completely not independent, with the exception of Sue Bierman has been independent. She voted against the new helicopters that the Department of Defense has given to police department here in San Francisco. And after unfortunately Tom Amiano had voted for the helicopters, he had second thoughts, and he even called me at home to say he was like, after I spoke in public comment, that he was reconsidering the issue. So I don't know if that's going to be brought back up or not, but he did make an amendment that the helicopters could only be for 1 year, and then they'd have to be brought back up again, but which was adopted by the rest of the Board of Supervisors. But I think he may realize now that it should be done away with altogether, that there certainly should not be these 10-hour flyovers that they're planned for our community.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're interrupting this morning report from Keith McHenry in San Francisco on the San Francisco Food Not Bombs political scene to talk to our own political scene here in Santa Cruz. It's Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins. Hi, Dan.
Morning. How are you?
And Dan, you've been apparently schmoozing with the court, hanging out in the courtroom anyway, at the trial of David Dumars, I should say the sentencing hearing. We just had Jim Costner in the studio, who told us that there had been a 45-day sentence on David Dumars for criminal slogan writing on a Sentinel box. Actually, it's protesting the rights of the homeless downtown, I think it was really is more fittingly the criminal charge, because that's what he really was doing in the course of all this. But you apparently have an update for us on what happened after that.
Right.
Come in.
I understand in the courtroom in the beginning it was originally a 90-day sentence, and somehow or another he changed it to a 45-day sentence and said that the reason he was being sentenced, you know, for straight time was because he refused to do the probation because he knew he'd be a target from the Santa Cruz Police Department, you know, because we're, as he referred to it, we're in a fishbowl here, we're not like in New York, you know,
mm-hmm.
So all the cops know everybody and they can watch every move you make, and they can just get you because they want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very strongly that he was right about that, and due to my experience with the police. But anyway, so then an interesting thing happened was he went over to the jail because he had to stay until next month for the 45-day sentence.
Mm-hmm.
When he got there, they told him that he's only going to have to serve 26 days of community service instead.
Wow.
So that was, everybody was happy, you know, that was there, you know, like his lawyer and a lady friend of his, you know, and another lady friend.
Mm-hmm.
So they were really, really happy that it was only turned out to be 26 days of community service. I guess it was in direct opposition of what the judge had ordered. Well, I don't know how exactly they do that, but
that's the judge did some sneaky number and made it look like he was the hard guy and you let somebody else be the soft guy or something. So what does that 26 days of community service mean? He has 26 days of jail time, or?
No, community service, working in the community.
Working in the community.
Yeah, voluntary work, I guess.
I mean, normally you get hours of community service, not days, so it's
okay.
It's a strange kind of thing. Maybe we'll understand that more later. You are Dan, the famous Dan Hopkins, who stays up all night and sleeps all day, and you apparently have been arrested a number of times at the City Hall sleepout, now going into day 32, is it?
Yeah, it's day 32, can you believe it?
And you had an arrest last night and a ticket. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, there was a girl arrested. Her name is Sandy. She's been a really reliable supporter who just comes in specifically to get arrested.
She was arrested for assaulting an officer, breaking a window, something like that?
No, for the terrible crime of sleeping.
Sleeping, I see. Arrested for sleeping, okay.
And an interesting thing happened with her case.
Mm-hmm.
Was after she came back this morning, we looked at her ticket, and it was for an infraction.
Uh-huh.
She was arrested and taken to jail.
Yeah, they're doing that now regularly. In fact, Sean Alamy, who called the show this morning and has been in jail all weekend, was arrested on two infraction tickets, the
right.
Same kinds of tickets that apparently Sandy got and was released on.
Yeah, and one of our people was trying to help us. He called up on that particular case you're talking about, and they can't even tell us when Sean's going to court. They don't know if it's not even scheduled or anything, which is exactly what they did the last week, you know. And And so we can't, and we couldn't use this one legal way of getting them out that a lawyer gave us, you know, to get him out because he was being illegally held in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't use that paper because the bailiff wouldn't give it to the judge. So we had no choice. So now what's happening is our friend that's helping us is going to go visit Sean, hopefully this afternoon, and see, you know, just where Sean's staying.
You're talking about the attorney?
No, actually Robert, you know, Robert...
Robert Flory.
Robert Flory.
I didn't think he'd be receiving callers till Wednesday, but it's interesting if he can get in early. That would be quite something.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think he is also the man who got a ticket last night, right?
Yes, he is. He got a ticket, and so did Jimmy, too.
So there were actually two tickets and one and one arrest, huh?
And then they backed, they doubled back again, and I think they gave two more tickets. What they did is they doubled back 45 minutes later.
Aha.
And I think he gave two more tickets, if I remember right.
And who did those two tickets go to?
That I'm not sure of because I was on the phone with you earlier this morning, you know.
So when you talked to me on the phone, you said that one ticket had been given to Robert Flory.
Right.
Was it then that they came back and gave a ticket to Jimmy Riley, or?
Actually, I think Jimmy got on the first one. I think Ben might have gotten one.
So it actually sounds like a total of four tickets and one arrest, huh?
Yeah, right.
So you're racking up a good box score there, Dan.
Yeah, so the listeners can hear what's going on with this ridiculous sleeping bag. I think we're somewhere right at about 55 camping tickets.
And maybe a total of 70 tickets and arrests?
Yeah, 70 charges, yeah, because all of us have gotten extra charges tacked on, you know.
Right. Well, I want to thank you, Dan. Anything you want to add? We're getting to the closing minutes of the show.
There is one thing I'd like to add.
Mm-hmm.
If your listeners can support us, we found out today that we're probably going to be getting a lot of support from other organizations. You know, in the courtroom, we met a lot of people that were there.
Right.
They are definitely wanting to support us. They're wanting to go out of their way to support us. However, your listeners are the most important people to us right now. And if they can come and support us in some way down at 809 Center,
thanks, Dan.
All right, bye.
Keep it up.
Yeah,
Free Radio Santa Cruz is about to pass on the mic to the next talk show host. If you want to be on my show, all you have to do is show up at Taco Bell at Pacific and Laurel Streets at the Taco Bell there at 9:45 on Friday. That's when the next show will be happening. Or you can give me a call at home at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Or come on down to the City Hall Sleepout, as Dan Hopkins was talking about, at 809 Center Street, right across from the library. Any time of the day or night, they can use your help. Just if it's only a kind word, that helps as well. We're going to go out on the last part of the Keith McHenry interview, and then we'll be catching the Sly and the next talk show hosts, and they will be able to pick you up from there.
So, all, you know, Matrix arrests are up in January and February of this year to 1,700 arrests in those 2 months. And the January and February of the year before, under Frank Jordan, the arrests were for Matrix crimes were 1,200. And that would be two crimes. 647I, which is intent to lodge, meaning if you're caught with a sleeping bag or black backpack, a shopping cart, a suitcase or something like that, then you would be you can be arrested for that. Or the sleeping, which is technically speaking, at night, you're not allowed to sleep in the parks, although that law has been enforced even outside of the time restraints.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been increasing. Then we went to a meeting with the mayor's office, sponsored by the Council on Homelessness, last week. I think I may have been on my way to that when I last reported in.
You reported to me that there was a big summit brouhaha that included no homeless people, and we talked about that at some length.
Yeah, that was a very frightening thing, and there's also, I've talked since then to Religious Witness with Homeless People, particular Father Vitali, and they are very bummed out that they had this huge amount of time that they spent with the mayor's homeless coordinator, for his name Ocean or something like that, who is wearing, just like the homeless coordinators of past, they seem to wear the most expensive suits, which is a very odd thing.
So Willie Brown is notorious for his
What I don't understand is the
wardrobe.
Administration does, I mean, all the other heads of departments in the mayor's office wear really crappy suits. It's just like for some reason the mayor's homeless court.
Well, I don't want to be mistaken for homeless people.
Yeah, I guess there's something, because the last guy was the same way under the Jordan administration. He was like the most fancily dressed up person. And even the woman that they had, Eleanor Jacobs, she was like, would wear like $2,000 suits. They want to make sure of that.
Are you maintaining contact with the Coalition on Homelessness much? Are you much in touch with them? I know you used to work for them.
I've been talking with them a lot, and they've actually had two people involved in these negotiations with the mayor's office who have now thrown up their hands, and they're attending this meeting tomorrow night at the Artist Television Access about what to do about police repression, the increase of police repression under the new liberal mayor. This is just as what we saw on a national level, a liberal president get elected, and the most right-wing crime bills and anti-terrorism bills and vicious cuts in health care and education and welfare are that couldn't ever pass under Bush and under Reagan. They became instant laws under the Clinton administration. We're seeing that here with the Brown administration, where there's a lot of talk about liberal this, liberal that, and the actions on the street are as draconian as possible. And it's there's a real division. You could see at the at that summit that the people that were pro Brown were flipping out that there was opposition to his trip, and we're going to see that with this new election for the coming up for the president of the United States. San Francisco is viciously, the Democratic Party is viciously pro Clinton, and so when you see the left be this far to the right and be attempting to move, it's like to be expected, actually. It's completely to be expected.
You talked about
what we've been saying for years.
You talked about the anti-terrorism bill. Where is that standing right now? And you were talking to me about this is the federal bill, but it will, of course, have implications for everyone, even locally. You pointed out to me that the bill had been weakened in committee in terms of, I think they removed a section which cut habeas corpus protections.
And they got rid of the list of activist groups, and the Clinton administration is very angry about that. And
do we have any updates on what's happening with that bill?
Right now, there's an attempt to put, what happens after the House votes for it and the Senate votes for it is then there's a joint House and Senate subcommittee, which then takes reworks it, and then it becomes signed into law by the by the president. And so there is concern, since the president has so vocally demanded that habeas corpus limitations be put into place and that this list be created, there's a bit of concern around this. And it looks as though, for instance, the Freeman's standoff in Montana, which is happening now, that's an obviously U.S. government manipulated event. Of course, the Freemen were just sitting there for whomever they are, and it's unclear who they are exactly, because we're getting mainstream reports, generally speaking. At least that's what I've been seeing, unfortunately. And so it looks like that the U.S. government decided to go after some supposedly militia-type people, jack them up, take people in for non-payment of taxes, you know, and try to encourage a standoff, which is now happening, so that by the anniversary of the Oklahoma bombing, April 19th, there'll be a clear and present danger still occurring. It won't be in the past. It'll be something that's actually happening in Montana as we speak. And therefore,
so it's a pretext for passing the anti-terrorism
right,
bill.
Right, and for putting back into the anti-terrorism bill the lists, and of course, militia will supposedly be on the list. I would not doubt that, and in fact, I've been kind of shocked that many people in the militia movement that I spoke to around here didn't think that this kind of thing would happen. But some have obviously been aware of that. And then also, but I should point out that after the Oklahoma bombing, Food Not Bombs members across the United States were jacked up by local police.
Really?
In association with that. And I did an interview shortly after the Oklahoma bombing with people from the Alameda County Militia, who reported that the militia movement was not jacked up at all, that they had not heard of any reports of a Michigan militia or Arizona militia or the California militia or anything getting jacked up by the police in the wake of the Oklahoma bombing, but Food Not Bombs in San Francisco, Food Not Bombs in Southern California, the Dallas Food Not Bombs were all harassed. In fact, the FBI confiscated the Fort Worth, Texas Food Not Bombs and all of their property, and it was taken by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Has it been returned?
And it has not yet been returned. And this is because of somehow the Oklahoma bombing. Now, Food Not Bombs has obviously not got anything to do with the Oklahoma bombing, but it would not surprise me if this list comes back.
Well, maybe there's a grammatical problem in the FBI office, and I think it's bombs, not food. You know?
It's just a really crazy thing. They were using that as a pretext to harass us in front of the Social Security Administration building in San Francisco, saying that, you know, they couldn't trust our food near the building. You know, what do they think? We're fermenting, you know, bagels or something?
There you go, explosive bagels.
It's like an insane thing. So, typical of these kind of things, you know, a lot of people are talking Palmerades again, you know. It sounds like, it was reminded at the Fresno, California-wide Food Not Bombs gathering. Some of the people from the IWW reminded us, the Industrial Workers of the World, that it was a liberal Democrat, that very progressive people who got into power and then did the Palmer Raids. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's the Wilson regime.
Yeah, right.
Back in the end of World War One.
Right, and they were just so fantastic, and they were just the Clintons of their time, and sure enough, there was a big disaster. So,
not to mention World War One, of course.
Yeah, of course, which is a very nice thing. And Hearst still got their papers here, still, you know, jerking people around with some misinformation.
Well, you know, down here in Santa Cruz, we have the sleep out at City Hall, which is now going into its 32nd day.
Right.
And I wonder, have you had much heard much support for this, or heard of any similar vigils where people are demanding the right to sleep? I know that we do hear of crackdowns. For example, there's a new law in Santa Clara County which makes it illegal to hold up a sign and ask for money on a freeway or near a roadway.
Because that's outrageous, since Santa Clara County is essentially nothing but a bunch of roadways that in no real other, you know, everything else is privately owned.
Well, I thought it kind of amusing, because I thought that, you know, the big concern, according to the papers, was all the traffic difficulties that they were having with all these homeless people standing on the freeways. And so I naturally scanned the newspapers for stats on the number of deaths and injuries that had happened in the last 2 years from all these hobos with signs, and, you know, I couldn't find one for some reason, but apparently they thought it was fish and menace in order to make it illegal for you to hold up a sign saying, we'll work for food, you know?
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, just a class, you know, classism, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of bunk. And, also, this idea that the economy is doing really well and everything is going great, and yet there's all these people that are hanging around with signs, and is outrageous. There, you know,
seems that people
with immigrant bashing, which is another great thing. And in Fresno, for instance, when we were there, they were like, had to lay off all these teachers because they lost federal funding for the education. There was a strike happening at the Raisin Factory about in another week, And part of the problem was that the raisin factory was going to move to Mexico, and then they started up street vigilante groups there. But the police had was all excited about these new street vigilante groups they started. So, you know, what's the deal? You know, it's pretty obvious.
Have you been in touch with the Palo Alto Food Nut Bombs?
I have talked to them a bit, actually. They have moved their location away from City Hall to a plaza where there's more people walking by. What they found out was that the Palo Alto city government, those people just go in an elevator to the garage and get in their, you know, Jaguars and stuff and split. Nobody walks by them. And you know, the government does not want to be to interact with the citizens. That would be a real shame.
The Palo Alto Food Nut Bombs has gotten the okay from both the police department and from the health department. You don't need a permit in California to share free food, according to the Palo Alto or the San Mateo Health Department.
Correct, yeah, which I think is obvious, but it's nice.
Rarely stated by public officials.
Yeah.
So those Palo Alto folks, you're telling me, are a spunky group?
They are a spunky group of food ladlers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they've gotten a lot of very positive news. And new developments in the Food Nut Bombs world, there's Melbourne, Australia, was serving at the last critical mass, Melbourne Food Nut Bombs, so we're waiting to get information on that address. And people called recently from down in El Paso, where they've been sharing food in El Paso, Texas. And so that's exciting. That's a very intensely...
What about the Chechnya Food Nut Bombs?
That is about to start, I think. There is definitely talk of, well, Poland, there's been some people there that have been trying to get a Food Nut Bomb started. And there's people in Spain that have been interested. There's several German chapters that have started up. So it is starting to become more of a global phenomenon, mm-hmm. as McDonald's and the other U.S.-based transnational corporations start taking over the entire world.
People, what about your Singapore Food Nut Bombs?
I don't know of a Singapore. I do know of a, there's a man in Sri Lanka who's been doing Food Nut Bombs there. Kind of interesting environment with the Tamil Tigers and so on. And there's a man in Kenya that's been doing Food Nut Bombs there, and apparently redirecting AID food to people in need.
And in South America?
In South America, I'm not clear of any groups. I know there's an organization called Popeye in Mexico, and they share free vegetarian food on the streets. And there's another organization in Belize who has been sharing free vegetarian food in Belize City. And
but nothing south of the equator, eh?
Not in this hemisphere that I'm conscious of. Although there's no way to tell. There's been a number of Food Nut Bombs people that have been visiting down there, and they're all over Central and South America. So it's unclear. There may be, in fact, a Santiago Food Nut Bombs and a Lima Food Nut Bombs, but I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's just impossible to tell, really, at this point. But, you know, we have a lot of groups in Canada. We have almost every major city of Canada has a... I think every major city in Canada has a chapter that's active. And they've been involved in supporting strikes and so on there. There's a effort to have a general strike in all of the province of Ontario. And so that's pretty cool. They've had some large, like Hamilton had a large general strike for 2 days in February, and there was one in London, and there's a London Food Nut Bombs and a Toronto Food Nut Bombs. So they seem to have been interested in supporting those strikes. So that's pretty amazing. And
quite an international cosmopolitan group you are.
It's quite a funny thing.
How about Reykjavik Food Nut Bombs?
We certainly need that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we need more groups in France. We don't have any... We have Quebecer Food Nut Bombs, Quebec City, and potentially there is a crossover there. And
well, I'm going to cross over to the radio station and leave you dangling on the phone line here, unless you have something you want to conclude.
Well, I think that we do need to organize a revolution as soon as humanly possible, because
San Francisco,
they're getting pretty bad.
Yeah. Will San Francisco Food Not Bombs be coming down to support the City Hall sleep out in Santa Cruz?
We hope so. What is the best next time?
Well, actually, you could choose your time, because
it's an everyday event.
It's an everyday and every night event. They're right now huddling under the eaves as the rain comes pouring down.
Wow.
There was one arrest last night, and
I saw Robert Flores. Many tickets that he's received.
He was given another ticket last night. He received yet another one, and I guess the first tickets will start to hit the courts tomorrow, April 2nd.
Wow.
Plus, we have a case today, that of David Dumars. You may remember BD. He was pepper gassed in 1994 during the downtown ordinance controversy by Sergeant Alufi in the Stuart Martin ID building. They give a speech, go to jail case. I don't know if you remember that.
And that's going to be a jury trial starting tomorrow?
Well, he actually was... they're threatening to try him again on charges that we had thought were moribund. And they're threatening to jail him for 90 days on a so-called criminal vandalism charge for writing on a Sentinel newspaper box. All the right. Third... The New World Order has a Third Reich odor.
Yeah, right.
And so BD is going to be in there challenging that with Attorney Ed Frey. In fact, he is, even as I speak. I'm a bit under the weather, so I'm not at court. Instead, I'm schmoozing with you.
Huh?
But, yeah, that's sort of the update, and I encourage you to continue to bring up at the... I mean, if you guys wanted to come down and do an event with us, we would be happy to have you come down.
Get this thing cranking, huh?
You could use some of your help. I'm going to call Palo Alto and see what news they have about this poor guy that was arrested by the police chief in front of Starbucks. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, I heard. I that was not in our paper up here. That was a Peninsula version of the
Right. Yeah, I actually did an interview with the woman who actually saw some of this, but unfortunately, I've got to dig it out. So I'm going to call Palo Alto Food Not Bombs, see what news they have, and I want to thank you.
Great, have fun.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Enough about the homeless struggle, and we'll sure be raising his big loudmouth voice,
no!
Which I uphold greatly. It's a wonderful thing. We all need to raise our voice. Speak in your mind, freeze your soul. So don't keep all that shit inside, because it'll just eat you up, you'll have ulcers, and you'll just be digging your grave sooner than the capitalists. So, please, speak your mind, get involved in the struggle, read, research, get your hands on any information that you possibly can, read the Spartacus material, read the RCP's material, read the Pan-Africanist material, read the Black Nationalist material, and make up your own mind. Don't let people tell you what to think. Make up your own mind. That's what you need to do. Or I'm telling you what to do now. Isn't that funny? That's a hypocrisy and an irony. I'm asking you and suggesting you to please make up your own mind about what ideology, what party, what leadership, what is the right road, the right steps, the right process in order for our people on this planet to do away with all the fucked up, nasty, genocidal, hideous things that we all have to experience under this world capitalist system. I'm gone. Take care, y'all. I love you all.
Hey, how you doing, Robert? Hey, Jim. Whoa. Well, I have to deal with you and two articulate guests, and now I'm all alone in the studio. Well, hey, I need help. Help! This is Bathrobes Pierre Robert broadcasting an SOS. For the next 2 hours, we're going to need you, yes, you, to call in to...